it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now is Justice Moscato from the Acme Packing Company. Going to talk about that special teams article, scathing piece on the Green Bay Packers. Justice joins us now. You can see him as well on YouTube as he joins us. Search the Fan Milwaukee on YouTube. Joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Justice, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about the kicking game. It's a bye week, right?
I'm going to talk about the kicking
not
game.
Not talking Brewers.
But I've got to start off with something completely different. Can we talk about your first name and how that came to be? Because I'm very intrigued. I've never talked to a justice spelled this way or anything of the sort. So I need a backstory. Do we have a backstory?
You know what I've been told?
Okay, what have you been told?
Who knows if it's true or not?
All right.
I've been told my dad thought it would be a good name for a football player.
Oh, so. He put expectations on you like that before you were even born?
Yeah, he should have thought before marrying my mom, who's like 5'2".
You're putting it on your mom because she's short. I get that. Yeah. I mean, it's like my kids. Put it on me. I'm 5'6", so they got no chance. I totally understand that part. All right, so let's talk about the Packers. So first it was, well, they don't have a field goal kicker. You know, he stomped and stomped to keep the kid that he drafted. It didn't work out. And then they go out and they get a couple other kids, and that doesn't work out. Then they finally decide to go get the kicker that they have now, which obviously has been fine, even though he had the harassment and all of that other stuff going on off the field, and that's why he was available last year. So you sign him to a long-term deal. You got a punter that's amazing, which has been really good. I'm happy about that. But now there's this issue of actually protecting on a field goal kick, and you have Musgrave, you have Tucker Kraft involved, you have issues up front involved on the offensive line, and I saw you and Peter Bukowski going back and forth earlier today about who has got say one way or the other as far as personnel goes, as far as who's on the field with those units. I said yesterday on this show, and maybe I'm very much wrong about this, I thought that it was Bisaccia that had say on who was involved as far as who gets to do what. I mean, you're paying the guy $1 million a year or more. He should have say in that. And I saw you on Twitter pretty much saying that you thought maybe it's Matt LaFleur as the head coach. So where do we go?
Yeah, to me, my personal experience from what I've had conversations with people in the league, it's 100% head coach. Like not
like every team in general.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for that situation, we'd have starting running backs returning kickoffs, right? If special teams coordinators had their free will at it, right? You get certain situations like, you know, you get like Cooper DeJean as a punt returner for the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, you know, the whole Super Bowl run, stuff like that. He's obviously a quality starter for them that, you know, they can't afford to lose.
Well, you've seen Charles Woodson good for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Sherman was a punt jammer.
Yep.
For the majority of his career with the Seattle Seahawks, even after he was a multiple time all-time pro or all-pro in the NFL. But for whatever reason, the Packers have kind of held back on the Keyshawn Nixon, both in the kick and punt return game. And then we saw the stuff with the offensive line, obviously, coming to fruition with that blocked kick. Brant Banks was, if you look at the pecking order for the Packers offensive line, he probably would have been 13th had everyone been healthy.
Yep.
And they had him working on field goal protection the same week that he got called up from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Elgton Jenkins is watching those kicks from the sideline, and then we get a block kick because he's asked to do a two-on-one block, basically, on that field goal protection. Immediately, they switch up their mentality, and they throw Elgton Jenkins out there to replace Brant Banks in that same spot. We never have an issue again.
And right? Then so, Banks got cut.
This is a team, and Brant Banks got waived yesterday. I think he's going to go back to the practice squad. I think they just want the two open spaces to call up guys from like the IR and PUP list and stuff like that after the bye. But yeah, not good. I mean, it really is as simple as you know, play your guys, which is something that I've been told by special teams coordinators. I've coached high school football in the 2020 season as a special teams coordinator just to get out of the house. Worked with the XFL prior to that. My girlfriend was very tired of me by the time June came around.
I can imagine.
Like, you need to go figure something out. So I talked to a bunch of guys in college and, you know, two that worked in the NFL, just for advice on special team stuff. And it's funny because the first thing that comes out of their mouth is you got to convince the head coach to let you play the players. Like that's part of the job, right?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Yeah, we've seen it hurt them.
So
not only in the field goal block game, but also the return game, right? Savion Williams has had 10 kick returns. We saw him kneel those ones out after the bounce in the end zone. They only get it to the 20. He's only turned one of those returns of those 10 into passing the 30-yard line, which is basically the NFL average right now. Matthew Golden's gotten 13 punts kicked to him. He's only caught 5 in the air, which is really scary because that you're going to force a fumble at some point doing stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of games, when stuff matters and they need to have a punt returner just actually field the ball, you're seeing Jaden Reed before he got hurt get in there. Keyshawn Nixon gets some returns. Romeo Doubs go out there. So the team clearly isn't playing who they think are their quote-unquote best players until it's actually crunch time.
Keyshawn Nixon should be the one doing it. And Keyshawn Nixon said at the end of last year he didn't want to do it because he wanted to be CB1. So it feels like to me that Keyshawn Nixon simply just doesn't want to do it.
This summer, worked with the return teams throughout training camp, right? Told the press that he was willing to do it. At the end of these games, he's getting those looks and you know, got to have it situations on the punt team. So I don't think he's adverse to it as much as you would kind of think.
Okay, so let me follow up then. Talking with Justice Moscata, again, Acme Packing Company. Follow him on Twitter at J-U-M-O-S-Q, J-U-M-O-S-Q on Twitter. Great follow, great writer, does a lot of great stuff. Had a scathing special teams article today. That's why we're having him on. So in training camp, I mean, I've been here for 20 years. So in training camp, it's always, well, these last 4 or 5 spots are going to come down to who can play the best special teams. That's who's going to make this bottom of this roster. That's where it's going to count at the end of the day. You and I are having conversations about guys that are playing significantly on offense being the guys that are out there. You had a guy that you could have kept on the roster in Mecole Hardman just to do returns. Again, he had a train wreck for preseason. But you could have had him just out there, not had him involved in the offense, just be a special teams guy, a vet. You don't have to rely on these young guys, and you could move forward that way. Would that have been a better idea at this point for the Packers than what they decided to do?
It's a possible path, right? The conversation really comes down to, would you have rather had a Mecole Hardman or a you know, a Malik Heath? Right. And I think the Packers went the Malik Heath route. And I think some of that has to do with kind of what LaFleur wants to do on the offensive side.
Right.
If you look at what his offense looks like, they want receivers who are like 207 pounds on average
and can block
And, you know, if you look at like Kevontae Turpin for the Dallas Cowboys, who got, you know, he popped off a return against Green Bay this past week. He's listed at 153 pounds and they had him on the roster. For the first 2 seasons he was there in Dallas, he was basically just a returner.
Man, I'm going to play in the NFL, dog. I'm like 150. I always thought I was too light, Justin.
You got to be fast, too. And like
I'm officially retiring from the fan. I'm out of here. I'm going to go play in the league. I'm going to be a Packers kick returner. 153, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, here's the bad news. Is Matt LaFleur is going to look at you and be like, I have no use for you. You need to be 200 pounds to play wide receiver for my offense, right?
Why don't you go join Wes Hockwitz over there and write about us instead? That's about much better idea.
So here's another thing about the preseason, right, that we just talked about. Savion Williams, kick returns in the preseason? 0. Matthew Golden, punt returns in the preseason? Zero. They used those spots to give it to guys like Israel Abanikanda, Mecole Hardman, Corey Ballantyne, all guys who aren't even on the practice squad
anymore. Right.
Right. So those are the only live reps you're really ever going to get before outside of the structure of an NFL regular season game. They're not going to go live and practice for punt return or anything like that, especially not during the season when you only get one padded practice per week. Right. It just doesn't happen, and they use those reps on guys who just aren't here.
I'm going to bring Charlie Usen in, my producer, because you brought up an aspect that you heard the other day about why special teams play is so bad this year, maybe compared to other years, and I want to see what Justice thinks. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports put out an article detailing interviews that he had with 9 different NFC coordinators and special teams players, and they basically were on there saying they just don't get enough time to practice anything else besides the new kickoff, and that they are spending so much time working on placing the ball and making sure guys don't return it versus past years where it was usually just kick the ball out of the end zone. Now they don't have time to work on punt returns. Now they don't have time to work on field goal unit as much as they did in the past.
You know, that's made as much sense as anything else I've heard. Because, you know, punts were at an all-time blocks were at an all-time high in both the punt and field goal game. I think we're at a 20-year high through 4 weeks of the NFL season.
Yep.
Penalties year-over-year basis, we're up 36% right now. I think, yeah, that's so everyone is like, Bisaccia is getting, you know, these guys are getting so many flags. And I'm like, yes, but not actually. If you compare it to everyone else in the league, like we just kind of turned up the special teams matter meter a little bit without having any plan for what this would look like roster construction wise. The roster, you know, numbers never expanded. Right. Practice time, all that. I mean, this is something that coaches have been yelling about since 2011.
That's crazy stuff. You know, Justice, we got to run. Justice Moscata, Acme Packing Company. Follow him on Twitter at JUOMOSQ. Justice, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Go Pack, go.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.